that we can come and lay all our burdens and our cares upon you, Father. You do care for us. We thank you, Lord, that we can rely on you, that we can quiet ourselves, Father, and quiet our soul, and let you speak, let your word ring true in our lives. I pray that you will edify us today with your word, and I pray that you will make a way, Father, for the Sunday school, for your spirit to be present, Father, and minister unto us these truths of eternal value, truth of life, that they may have his work on us these days to come. And I pray for a special, Father, anointing upon the hearer, that they would be anointed by the same Holy Spirit that wrote and inspired these words, to receive them, Father, in a fertile ground, and that it may come and be reproduce itself and be fruitful, Father, and attain to what you sent it out for. We bless your name. We exalt you, Lord, and we put you before all our problems, all our issues, all our concerns, all our pains and aches, and all the afflictions, Father. We just ask that you will have the preeminence this day in the precious and in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. So today we'll be talking about edifying of the body, or the edifying of the body. It's a word that has been very present. I've been pondering upon edification. You know, when you have it, and what it's like when you don't have it, and you miss it. It's something that, to be living in that edified condition. I remember the first I came across the word edification, or when I first became a Christian, and I had frankly hadn't heard that word in Spanish. You know, it's not a word you use much for talking about a person. It's obviously used for buildings, right? You build something. And I remember the first time ever actually being in that condition, where I remember it was a Friday night, and of course, you know, on Friday nights without the Lord, you run wild, right? You usually look for events and such. And I remember the very first time being a Friday night, and then just reading the Bible, and then just the word edification came to me to say that this Friday I'm not going to work on a destruction of my inner man. For the first time I was working on, the Holy Spirit was working on me to be edified. And I'll tell you what, I have received more joy that night, that Friday night, that weekend than I've ever had ever in my life. So that was a contrast for me, is what it really is to be edified versus, I guess you can say, to have fun or to do anything else that's really not a building on the inner man. And boy, it's just two different worlds. It really is. Ephesians 4:12 says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what he did, the things that were aforementioned in the verses prior. So let's read 10 to 11 now. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heaven, all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. What do you do that for? For your edifying, for your perfecting, and for the work of grace, right? For the work of the ministry. See, he did this though, right? He'll use people. He always has. He uses us all, right? He uses you. But that's the purpose. See, Brother Branham said, "On my angel shall go before thee." Back in 53, he mentioned, then he sent, first he sent prophets, teachers, evangelists, and is that right? Gifts of tongues, interpretation, it's all for the edifying of the church. Is that right? All for the edifying, to edify the church. God has sent them in the church, set them in the church. Who has? Not because somebody laid hands on you, because God, it says, but because God has. Not man has. God has set in church. He gave. He has set. Amen. And that's just corporal, right? But we're going to bring it down to ourselves, right? You know, what edifies you? Like what does it for you? Individual as well, beyond the body overall. It says, now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built up, that word built up means edified, upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, the rock, right? It says, in whom all the building, fitly framed now, together groweth That's a strange word to put together. Typically, when you think of a building, they don't really grow, right? And if you think about all the materials we have, they're buildings, and you think about framing, fully framed and all that. I've never seen my house grow, you know? Maybe the door sometimes when it gets humid, you don't want to close. It grows a little bit, but not the kind of growth we're talking about here. Because look what it says, unto an holy temple in the Lord. Amen. See, one of the things sometimes we try to do is try to come up and be edified and be a part of the edification apart from holiness. And as we'll see in the scriptures here, I think it's going to give us a tad reminder that that just can't be done. See, just think about the word growth, because that's something that's a living now, right? It's edification, but it's something that grows, it changes, it moves. So what edifies me? What edifies you? Well, what makes you, in other words, grow, live, and be in that state, in that condition where the inner man is blessed and where the inner man is really being built up? Are you really adding to the virtues? Where you really are growing? And see, Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up. See, the word grow now. Grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So the word growing, the word developing. In Ephesians 4:16, it says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. You imagine about this, the unity that's talking about? According to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase. That's another word for groweth, right? You growing, you being edified, the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So that's a mouthful there. But what it's trying to say, speaking on edification here of the body, what it's trying to say is that the whole body fitly joined, so think about joints, right? Compacted by which every joint supplieth. Thinking of all the function, right? Even when you move a muscle, one has to contract, the other one has to relax to be able to make the movement. And have you ever felt edified even in your body, like when you're exercising or something, and you just kind of got your blood pumping, and you got your spring on your step, and you just feel good? I'm working on that. I started with 10 minutes a day, and I think about it every day, but I do it most of, I'm starting to get to it most of the time now. But boys, it's just so hard to create good habits, you know? I mean, I used to have that when I was way younger, and you know, with moves and everything. But I do feel edified, I'll say that much. That whole day, I feel physically edified. I feel like my body. I was looking at a visual of just what 30 push-ups a day for like 30 days or something like that, just what it does to your wrist, what it actually starts doing to your bones and the different things. It starts edifying your body, actually. Right. It starts building it back up, building it, you know, at a molecular level, but also, you know, everything, muscles, we'll see here, bones, everything, it starts working in that sense. So the whole body being fitly joined together, compacted, by which every joint supplieth according to the effectual work, that means the effective work of each part, whatever that each part has to play, then it maketh increase. It says, of the body unto the edifying of itself. So it edifies itself in love, right? So see, I remember this definition from, I was helping my daughter with an elementary definition. It was, what's a living thing? And these are the four things that we found come up when you're trying to just do an elementary fifth grade level definition. It's basically things that grow, things that need nutrients, energy, like a plant to grow, and it reproduces itself. Think about like a rock, right? There are some things that people say that they have some of these definitions, but, you know, not to the full extent, right? When you think about mushrooms or fungi or different bacteria that's alive, or certain sea life, they're trying to determine if it's a plant or an animal because they kind of look like both. But at the end of the day, does it grow? Does it need food? Does it reproduce itself? And does it change, right? Does it morph it? Does it change its shape and its environments and all that? And it sustains the system of being living, right? So the cells, they duplicate, you know, they also sometimes die, and then they also regenerate, and like I said, some of them just, they reproduce themselves biologically, right? And just note this thing real quick. So some people have said that every 70 years your body is really a new body, and that's more of an average, because some things take a little longer and some things take a little shorter parts of your body to actually do reproduce yourself. The cell lining in the gut are replaced every 4 to 5 days. This is just generally speaking, right? Skin cells renew roughly every 2 to 4 weeks, so your skins are actually becoming new. They're actually renewing it, so it's edifying, right? The body is. Red blood cells have a lifespan of about 120 days. Now, when you talk about muscles, they can be years, right? But they can actually literally become brand new. And bone cells as well. They can actually, but that takes longer. That takes about like 10 or 15 years or whatever it takes. But the idea is, when I first heard that, you know, I said, no wonder you look at somebody sometimes and say, you look refreshed or you look good or and so forth. And we'll talk about that in the natural, but in the spiritual too, sometimes there are either things that are working on edifying or destructing, right? I mean, somebody said it before, you know, you're either working on living or you're working on dying. It's a pretty negative way to look at it. But sometimes, seriously, I mean, if you're old of age enough, you're not, you know, like in your prime in your youth and you've gone through things, you got through afflictions, the sicknesses. I'll tell you, some of those things, if you don't watch it, you know, everything else can be going well in your life. But those things, you have to watch it because you either, again, they're destroying you or you're working on edifying yourself, you know, on being edified. So see, and besides this, it says in 2 Peter, right, 1, it says, besides this, given all diligence. So we'll read it fast and then we'll read it again. Add to your faith, right, virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance. So these are the things mentioned, total of 8, right? Temperance, patience, to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. So one of the things a type here, Brother Branham talks about the pyramid. He says, so that pyramid is so perfect. If any of you has been there, it says you can't hardly run a razor, right, between the stones, how they're laid together. And he says they had no mortar in it, as far as we know. He says the architecture of it was so great. So I have some images here. I've been studying about some of that, and you can find it in some of the images. Some of the places that are old, as you can tell here towards the bottom. Of course, the stones are broken out, but they're not the outer layer. But boy, some of those, of course, decay and all. But the idea is there's many evidence that these rocks were just better than laser cut, you can say. They're just perfect. They were just like this. And, you know, back in the day, you think, so it's technology that these rocks were just literally placed. And I came to think about it. He says, no mortar, at least as far as we know, he says, right? Then I thought about adding. Right, so you have faith, and then you're going to add virtue, right? There's some unseen thing that's actually joining those things together. And there's some unseen thing. Sometimes it could be some rubbing. It could be some, you know, why am I going through this? And then before you know it, it's like, okay, you can add some virtue now. You can start edifying on the body. And before you know it, you know, you got these 7 joints over here across these 8 virtues that are mentioned here. And so if you read it again, see, it says add. So they're being connected to your faith virtue. And there's something unseen here between the word faith and virtue that's connecting that. It's either going to be mortar or it's either going to be just how perfectly they're connected together. They're tied. They're almost just become one, interlock. My daughter, we were we're having a little soup, and you know the little lids have a little pinhole in the middle now? And there's this droplet of water that was right there. It's like, look. It's physics, Dad. Look, there's the water's right there, but it's just not going through the hole. It's like you would think that the water would leak, right? And then we were so busy, and we were trying to, like, ignoring her. But then eventually I said, no, she has a point. I says, you know, she's observing it for herself. You know, it becomes real to her that, I mean, you normally have a hole in water, water leaks, right? But see, there's something connecting that water drop together, and it was uniting it so much that it had the reason to come out. Same thing with this. There's something unseen between faith and virtue being, that's adding it. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. Right. And then it connects it. Before you know it, it's not going to look like 7 different stones or 8 when the headstone comes in. It's going to look like perfection. It's going to look like, you know, they mentioned that some of these pyramids, how they were built back then, you can see some on the top of the very edge, you can see that there's still, on the ones that have the edge, you can see that there was another layer that was just a perfect. And then some of it say it just would glisten, right? Or have gold on the top or whatever different things are coming up with. But the idea is what we're seeing right now is so perfect thousands of years later. Right. Amen. So God's building a one that grows, one that develops, that you can add to it. And that you know, like it reproduces, it can grow, it can expand, all those things we learn about living thing. Because obviously we are a living, right, temple of the Holy Spirit. So it says 2 Peter 1:8, you know, after we read that, and it says, For if these things be in you, right, and abound, they make you. So they make you, that work of the Holy Spirit, that you neither be barren nor unfruitful. See, that's the reproduction of it. In the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How else are we edified, right? So let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying. Help us, Lord, right? I mean, even in our daily walk, right? You know, who put this thing over here and this, right, to the more serious things, right? I think that that's no corrupt communication but proceed out of your mouth with, but that which is good for the use of edifying. Otherwise, it would be called idle word, right? But if it's going to come and build, it's going to come and help somebody grow, somebody be built up in the inner man, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That's one way. And 1 Timothy, it says, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, right? Instead of ministering grace, as we really talked earlier, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now, the end of the commandments, is charity. We just read that a little while ago here. Out of a pure heart and out of good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Amen. This will edify. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Remember, minister grace, which is able to edify you, is able to build you up, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. There you go again. Sorry, but you can't really have that edification without renouncing areas of our life that are unholy. Because we got to be holy. We got to walk that walk. And that is how that works hand in hand. So see, Colossians 2:7, it says, rooted, that's a root, and built up in him and established in the faith, remember? As ye have been taught, I think many of us have been taught here, and many for even a greater decades than some, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So being rooted, being built up, establishing the faith, being taught, abounding is something that it's overflowing, something that taketh increase. For every house is builded by some man, but he that builds all things is God. So he's the only one that can edify the inner man. He's the only one that can bring that virtue, that knowledge, that temperance, and edify us into, it says right here, lively stones. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And in Romans it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We talk about cells, right? The renewing of your mind. That means you can be edified. That means your mind can be edified, let go of the old things and take on the new and actually grow, actually develop. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will. Of course, the will of God is his word, right? Will of God. That it may be revealed to you. And this message came to do that and more. It says here, in 1 Corinthians 3:14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. You always think about, right, is what's going to stand, right? We see some of these examples in rocks, and some of these things that stand a long test of time. But the things that you're doing that are of eternal value, the legacy that you're leaving, right? It says, if any man works abides, which he had built thereupon, it shall receive a reward. So we look at how God builds. So you know, Jesus says, and I say to Peter, right, unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, because you know, it said, flesh nor blood has revealed this to thee, but my Father who is in heaven has revealed, and that is the rock, the revelation. I will build my church. It's his church. He said he will build it. And it's going to be upon that rock, the faith of revelation. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's how God builds. He builds on things that are unseen, things that are eternal. For other foundation can no man lay, it says in 1 Corinthians, than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. You think about all your works you've done, right? For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Think about all your works just going to go through a fire. And then it says, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Amen. And the only thing that will last is the ones that are built on the foundation. And we've been taught, I'm thankful that this message came and came to bring the right understanding, revelation of the Bible. And it didn't come to take away, but it came to add, right? It came to clarify, and it came to build upon the one and only foundation that we have. Of course, because the opposite would be destruction, right? Right. The opposite of edification when it would be when we're destructed. So flee fornication. Every sin that man doth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. So that's one way not to be edified. Right? I mean, you could try, you could prove it, but at the end of the day, there's a fire that's going to reveal it. And it says every man's work will be put to test. So it's, see right there on verse 13, it says every man's work. So you might think, not yours, but mine have been and are being revealed by fire. And there's things that you like to think are not outside of the word, but the word's pretty clear. In Romans 8:13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And like the brother minister, he brought up the real good balance about, you know, there's just a wrong that battles against you, but inside, right, there's a good that wants to desire the things of God. The brother that preached, I think it was the battle after the verdict, or the battle after, if you will, you know, you have been declared free. There's still battles that are going on. Right? But these words still apply, and trying to be received that edification outside of holiness is not acceptable to God, to his word. For it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do war after the flesh. It says, we do not war after the flesh, For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of a stronghold. So see, you have to destroy that stronghold in order to get that edification. Because that stronghold then will destroy us. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Knowledge is one of the virtues. And bringing into captivity, that's like kind of locking up, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Amen. High calling, right? And it's, but see, that will bring edification. Walking like that. And then it goes into says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. There you go again. So edifying yourself on the most, not just faith, but it's the holy faith. In other words, walking in holiness. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God. I mean, how could you not be edified that way? Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. It's a price to pay, but you can't be edified. There is an edification of the body. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. High calling, right? But in the inner man, if you are walking in the Spirit, this becomes true. Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Right? So then we can come and say, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And it says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also as you do. As the scripture that came to mind here was, iron sharpens iron, right? So man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. I mean, sometimes your friends tell you the truth. There's some raw little magnets you could put in the refrigerator about a friend, right? And it just says, all right, but a friend is someone who would just tell you the truth, even if, you know, even when everybody else is just petting you the right way, you know? So, and it just stinks sometimes, right? It's like, why do you always have to bring that up, you know? Why do you always have to be correct? But, yeah, we got some of those friends, and some of them are good friends, right? That they were just, hey, iron sharpens iron. So does one man is sharpened as the other, the countenance of his friends. One thing that will sharpen your countenance is when you're edified by his holy word. Amen. So dearly beloved, I beseech you, we're on time, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. And let the peace of God, it says in Colossians 3:15, rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called. So it's a calling in one body, and be ye thankful. In 2 Corinthians it says, and there I write these things, being absent. It's a very interesting passage. He says, lest being present I should use sharpness. He's kind of refraining himself. He says, you know, I don't want to come to you with sharpness. But what he wants to do is that, he says, according to the power which the Lord has given me to edification and not to destruction. So these are two things in opposition there. Destruction. And the question here is, you know, what is destroying our lives, right? What is battling right now that is destroying your life instead of edifying it, instead of building it back up? So are we working on self-destruction or edifying of the body, right? So finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, pure, lovely, good report, you know, be in any virtue, any of these things we just talked about, if there be any praise, think on these things. In Psalm, it says, so the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. They shall fear his glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, the Lord himself shall build or edify the bride. Zion, there's a representation of the bride. He shall appear in his glory. So therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, says in Matthew, and doth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon that faith, that revelation, that rock. Amen. That unwavering truth. And that will stand. But see, but grow, wrapping up here, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the word edification, one of the things I like, because you know, it is true sometimes that like water, right? It's either stagnant or it's flowing freely. And I tell you, sometimes you could have been just the more giving person, but there are times that, you know, you get little pockets and areas where they just get, things get stagnant in our lives. Right. And I know in order to grow, something has to be coming in and has to be coming out.
Right.
Yeah, it's like those cells we talked about. Something has to be, you know, being exercised. Something has need to be put to use, if you will, sacrificing or dying so that the new can become alive. And I believe in our walk, we're given all these words, right, that we need for edification, but growing grace, what a beautiful two words together, right? I mean, we love grace, but to grow in it, have more of it, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be all glory now and forevermore, amen. So edifying of the body, something to think about is, you know, just meditate on what's the things you got to abstain from that just don't bring value, because, you know, we know that things are lawful, but not all things edify, right? And like it says in one of the scriptures I read some time ago, it says, but I will be brought by none of their power. In other words, I will not be subject to any of them. So not to use things as a excuse or as a walking stick, if you will, but to something to lean on, but just to know that edification, even after you've had it and then you've had, you know, chipping away in your walk, it's still there. It's just that it comes by that way of holiness, by that faith, by that adding, building up the body. It's really hard to start exercising again, but I believe that all it takes is read your Bible, pray, and may the Lord help us, you know, to not forsake the gathering, assembling. God bless you all. Amen. Praise the Lord.